Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word tonight is the words of the prophet Jeremiah I read for you just a moment ago. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10 and 17 to 19. And tonight we continue with our sermon series we started last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Our series is Come Take Up Your Cross, and we see that with different people in the Bible. Last Wednesday we talked about Moses, and tonight we talk about the prophet Jeremiah. Now there's a real advantage to taking a look at the lives of believers in the Bible. You can take comfort in their failings, which are like yours and mine. You can take comfort in God's pardon, the pardon we have in the Lord Jesus washed clean in his shed blood, which mercifully covered their failings and also cover your failings and mine. We can take comfort in seeing the outcome of their faith. We see the whole story with these folks because we can see the end of the story, unlike ours, which we don't quite see the end of yet. But what we can see is that the Lord does keep his promises to save his people, to bless his people, to grant his people eternal life in the Lord Jesus. But there's something else, too. And you see it in all of the different people, and you will see it in all of the different people that we will talk about on these Wednesday evenings, and that is the understanding that there is no such thing as the ideal Christian person. There's no such thing as the ideal Christian, because God is not limited in how he does his work. Now, as human beings, we certainly set up our ideals of what people should be like or what Christian people should be like. If we were living many hundreds of years ago, back in the Middle Ages, we probably would have regarded and venerated people like St. Francis of Assisi or Teresa of Avila, people with whom, when everybody else was losing their cool, when everybody else was getting hot around the collar, when everybody else was pitching a fit, they would seem to be calm and mystical and radiate purity and kindness. But nowadays, we have different standards. We have different ways of looking at things, and we tend to think more about the ideal Christian person as somebody who is charismatic, somebody who is inspiring. A charismatic and inspiring leader like Moses. Last week we talked about him. He was powerful in word, powerful in action. He knew all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He had been educated in all of that. But then just as you start to get the ball rolling, you begin to see that those were the very characteristics in Moses that the Lord crushed and the Lord crucified and the Lord put to death, because God was molding him into something different as his child. God was molding him into a man of prayer, a man who had to pray, a man of faith, a man who had to trust the Lord for every need. And so we come tonight to Jeremiah, who is a different type altogether. As I was looking at my commentaries, one of them described him this way. They said that he was timid and reserved. Timid and reserved, which is an unfortunate description, because in our culture, where we're looking for the charismatic leader, we probably hear that as being a weakling, somebody who doesn't have much strength. And yet Jeremiah was a man who carried crosses that were so heavy and were so frequent that most of the rest of us would have become unhinged by it, mentally or physically or in our faith. He was given a difficult job to do, a difficult road to hoe. He was given the unhappy task of announcing to his people their destruction. Jeremiah was also given a message that was so filled with judgment from God's Holy Spirit that he attracted few friends. He did not have large followings of people, only one person that we know of, a man by the name of Baruch, who took down his dictation of his prophecies. But Jeremiah did not attract large followings. The people who did were the false prophets, the ones who made people happy, the ones who made people laugh, the ones who promised peace and promised prosperity. Jeremiah also was commanded by the Lord not to find comfort in a wife or in children because of the destruction of the nation that was coming very soon. Jeremiah was called a traitor because he said the Lord's will was to surrender to the Babylonians, not to fight on to the death. And king after king and nearly all the rulers of the people opposed him. They hated him. They stood against him. Or at the very least, they ignored his words from the Lord to them. And in a time like that, what do you do? When you're a person like that facing all of these things, what do you do? Well, you turn to family. You turn to those who are closest to you. You turn to your home clan, your home village in that culture. And yet, while Jeremiah would have turned to them, we find that his words were causing so much heat against his family that they were plotting to kill him. His own family was going to kill him. And so you see, as one commentator said, a dreary round of persecution and imprisonment, alternating with only brief periods of freedom. Now, somebody who's going through all of that and is still there, that is not a weakling. Not by any stretch of the imagination. No, maybe with Jeremiah we would use a different word. He's not a weakling, but he's a person who is sensitive. He's not touchy, not in that sense, but the fact is that things didn't flow off of him easily. When things hit him, they hit him hard. When things hit him, they hit him deep. When things hit him, they hurt. Jeremiah chapter 9. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, I wish I had in the desert a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men." Jeremiah chapter 12. "Righteous are you, O Lord, and I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Now, why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease?" Jeremiah chapter 20. "Cursed be the day that I was born. Let the day not be blessed when my mother bore me. Why did I ever come forth from the womb to look upon trouble and sorrow, so that my days have been spent in shame?" And there's many other passages like that. Passages where Jeremiah the prophet has a dialogue between himself and the Lord. He speaks, and then the Lord answers in return. But right there, you find the key to it all. He speaks, and God speaks back and speaks in return. Because who else is going to speak to him? His friends? Which ones? Which ones that he doesn't have? His family? Which ones? Which ones that he doesn't have anymore? The leaders, the rulers, the judges? All of them turn against God, and so also turn against his servant. And Jeremiah says, "Lord," and the Lord responds. Because no other voice would do, except the Lord God himself. No other voice can address the relentless assaults that Jeremiah faces on the outside. No other voice can still or bring quiet and hope to Jeremiah on the inside. In a way, he says in all of his prophecies, Lord, I don't want to hear from people. Let me not hear from man, Lord. It must be from you. And so, we see that the cross that the man carried, that every Christian person carries in one form or another, we see that the blessed holy cross, as Martin Luther called it, we see that cross as the crushing brick wall that fell on Moses and took him from being a man of vigor and action and power and took him to a greater power of trust in the Lord, a greater power of prayer. And so also the many crosses that came upon Jeremiah taught him to desire no other voice than that of the Lord God. I want to hear from you, Lord. I want to find comfort in you and hope in you and assurance in your holy word. I want to find pardon in you in the cross of your son, Jesus. I want to find, as my forefathers did in the desert, and you know the verse, that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You learn to trust. You learn to pray. You learn to hope in God's pardon. You learn to find hope in the Lord's word alone. And those are the fruits of the blessed holy cross. And if those fruits are seen in your life, even in the smallest form, what a gift of God that is. What a blessing. Because those are good fruits indeed. And so Jeremiah, and so each and every one of us, take up your cross. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.